Our epistle for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. At that time when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath?" And they could not answer him. And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than thou have been invited by him. And he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man.' And then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou shalt be with honor in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now
and at our. And to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, it's quite the interesting gospel given to us to consider today. But oftentimes, as with the gospels, it's important for us to study, not just to read it and let it go in one ear and out the other, like, "Oh, wow, that was interesting." Because there's a lesson for us to learn here. As it says in Scripture, these things are written for our instructions. So let's take a moment and contemplate the event that's related to us. First, our Lord is invited to eat at the house of a Pharisee. Now, for anybody who's familiar, even a little, with the gospel, you know that the Pharisees, as a whole, not 100% of them, but as a whole, they had a problem with our Lord. It was the Pharisees who finally captured our Lord, having been betrayed by Judas, and took him to a rigged courtroom in the middle of the night and condemned him to death to be taken to Pontius Pilate. So he was at one of the rulers of the Pharisees. So one of the top people in that society. And it says in Scripture, there was a man there who had the dropsy. It's like, okay, coincidence? No, not so. And the commentators of the Gospels comment on this, saying that it was not an accident that that person was there. The Pharisees knew that the person would be there. They had already accused our Lord of violating the Mosaic law, and they wanted to find more violations, quote-unquote violations. And after it tells us that, and behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy, And before anything else takes place, our Lord poses a question to the lawyers and the Pharisees. The lawyers, these were professionals of the law. And the Pharisees, these were supposed to be the personifications of the law. Why did our Lord pose the question? Because he knew what was in their heart and he knew what was in their mind. He knew what they were up to, but he was going to take the opportunity to teach them or to give them a chance. Because Christ gives us all, or Almighty God gives us all a chance to save our soul. For some, he gives many chances. And others, differently. His prerogative. None of us deserves the chances that we are given. But we're blessed because we have them. And so he gives these Pharisees and these lawyers a chance. And he asks them a question. These professionals. Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath? Pretty easy question. At least a good enough question to cause conversation or debate. And yet what was the response? Scripture tells us, and they remained silent. When was the last time you heard intellectuals or lawyers remain silent? Well, they were up to something else. They wanted to catch our Lord in the horns of a dilemma, justify themselves and to try to discredit Christ. This is the way evil works. It worked way, it's the way it operated back then, it's the way it operates today. It operates in big circles and small circles. It doesn't change. For its operation is nothing less than demonic. So what does our Lord do? Okay? He heals the man. Sends him away. And then he tries to cause even greater discussion and explain to them. Now, if you pause for a moment and you take a look, they're talking, the discussion or the problem that they would have is if a miracle was to take place on the Sabbath. A miracle. What's a miracle? A miracle is something that is out of the natural realm, granted by divine prerogative. This is where they're at. Because they had already accused our Lord of violating the Sabbath by working miracles. Another time when they accused our Lord of this, he said, "The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath." When he came upon this argument in other places, he related to them that the spirit of the law makes the law live, and the letter of the law, living only by the letter of the law, kills the law. And now it's time for us to question ourselves, to examine ourselves, for these things are given to us for our instruction. We can't claim ignorance because we've been given this information. We must make a choice, and no choice is a bad choice. So what is the thing for us to learn from here? Well, it's to examine ourselves and to see whether or not we live by the spirit of the law or not. Because it doesn't really matter if you live by the letter of the law. Our Lord tells us, basically, you're not living it. What is the spirit of the law? Mercy, justice, love. Not ours, Almighty God's. Interesting that he should put the amount of mercy and kindness that we have to our neighbor, that our eternity depends upon it. If we judge our neighbor, we will be judged. If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. He even teaches us that's how you ought to pray. Forgive us as we forgive those. When thinking about this, I shiver sometimes to think, does that person really want to be forgiven their sins if they have forgiven people who have offended them? Because some people, they hate upon their fellow man. So you have the spirit of the law and you have the letter of the law. The spirit of the law makes us live the law, fulfill the commandments, and grow in love. That's why Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are his commandments? Yeah, we have the 10, the Decalogue. We have the two great commandments, of love, with love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength, and will. Love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. We have also the laws of his church that are given to us. And when it comes down to laws or commandments, it comes down to want and must. For example, let's take very quickly the commandments of the church. How many of us are here because we must go to church on Sunday? Or how many of us are here because we want to go to church on Sunday? This past week we had Ember Days, days of fast and abstinence. How many of us kept those Ember Days because we must, because otherwise we would be sinful? Or how many of us wanted to do it in the spirit that the church gave us these Ember Days and the reason why she gave us them to do? To pray for vocations. To pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. How many of us just lived the letter of the law, but not the spirit? How about with regards to the law of marriage? It says in for the church law, to observe the laws of the church concerning marriage. Some people, they try to figure out the letter of the law and see how they can manage their way through it, justifying themselves. And the fact of the matter is, when we justify ourselves, we're not justified before God, because only God can really justify us. Do I want to uphold the sanctity of marriage as Christ upheld it and said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder? Or is it more of the letter of the law? Let's see how we can maneuver through this. How about going to communion during the Easter time? I'm going to confession at least once a year. How many of us go to communion because we must go to communion? Or it's the thing to do, I guess, when we have to go to church. Or how many of us really want to receive our Lord? Not just on our tongue, but in our hearts. And have him be a part of our day. Remember what our Lord said about those people that praise with their lips only? These men praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Why? Spirit, letter, a want, and a must. Makes all the difference. When I go to confession, do I go to confession because I need to go to confession? I don't want to go to hell. I need to go to confession. Or do I want to go to confession so I'm good with God? I want to abide in his mercy. Apologize for the violation of his justice and his charity. And be good to go with God. How many of us play the game? Well, let me see. I have this many weeks and I have to do this. And somehow we handle it with some type of mathematic problem. It's far beyond math. Letter, spirit. We're sorry because we've offended God, who's worthy of all our love. And that's what it comes down to. Our love for God. That he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwell within you through faith in your hearts, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge. That's what we must be in it for. Otherwise, it's for naught. It's for nothing. When we go to communion, do we want to go to communion, or is it something that we kind of just need to do because it's a Sunday thing? Or do we want to receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, divinity, into our heart? and into our soul and into our day, acknowledging our weakness so we can acknowledge His goodness, acknowledging our sinfulness so we can acknowledge that He's our Savior and Redeemer. Spirit, letter, want, need. Yes, the things that we need we should want, but we should want them more than we need them. Because you have to want to love someone. For that's in that realm, that's how love is perfected. Love cannot be forced. And this is where the last part of the gospel should concern us. Because Christ is talking about humility. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. Shall be. Not might be, shall be. What does exalting yourself mean? Making ourselves out to be something greater than we are. Especially in contrast to our neighbor. Well, at least I'm not like those people. Oh Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like the rest of men. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled. And they who humble themselves shall be exalted. Let us stir up within our hearts an attitude of humility, understanding the great blessings that we are given today, and to thank God for those blessings, not just in the moments of church, but prove our gratitude by how we take Him back out into our day and how we live our lives, especially in contrast with our neighbor, in goodness, in kindness, in patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.